interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate challenge, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting, episode 672. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. So get you behind the woodshed. Take those miscreants with you. And it's donation season. Again, we need quite a bit more donations to keep up with the hardware that has failed. And other things in the maintenance and all that anybody would know that it takes for a network to work. Appreciate all that you donate and have been donating and content providers. I haven't heard Sound tell me we have a new broadcaster. So maybe you want to look into your bag of tricks and bag of content and see what you can put together and bring it for the people to hear. Let them know what they may not know. Bring your proofs. Don't just talk off just opinions. A lot of people can do that. We can all talk out the opinions. I found out, I go back to William Roberts, all that he would tell you in the encyclopedias and working and understand the foundation. When it came down to a condition he had local to a code enforcement, he was essentially lost. So it's application of this is not so straightforward. And how he got it turned around is I showed him how, as I do anybody who asks me, to go to your local codes and I can direct where you start to look, and it starts to speed things up. And so you then aren't defenseless. You get to respond. I throw in an observation or two as you might progress, but he found out that there is a certain process. It's out there. You can go find it, and it takes more study. And so, again, together, we all can come and work together to do better. And I laid out a little bit. One, there's a whole lot of things, aspects of the property takings that's going on with the data centers. I saw another one go down. I think it was in Georgia. I hope those people step back up and say and challenge all this. But we're not doing, as a people, we're not taking the system as we see it and applying it. And so, but we have our complaints. So I would hope that you get behind woodshed here twice a day, I understand, on the past casts, but at least once a week when I come in and do the new one, as I best I can, and to give you the information that you need to kind of move along. And I don't know that you're going to find a lot of this in elsewhere. And I've been told it's not. What we get behind woodshed is not out there. Yeah, there's some stuff, certainly. I read the news. That's going to be anybody who reads the news is going to have that part. But what about the little extras? Maybe the insights, maybe how to put it together, maybe to think about how to put it together, because sometimes we don't know. It's the possibilities, the potentials, the probabilities that we're working with. It's like nothing is certain. And yet, we have certainty that we need to bring to our lives to bring our peace, bring our settlement, bring our contentment, if you will, if we can have any anymore. And I guess that's an internal thing, as best you can. So again, the donation season, do what you can, please. Buy the crew a bunch of coffees if you can, if that's what works out for you, or even more. And help us buy the hardware. We got there's always costs coming up here and there. It's not too inexpensive to keep this thing running. I just, as I said last week, Sound Minds has done a great job to pull it together and to get it going and continue to go and move forward into the future. And so I hope you would embrace that and give him a kudo or two in the form of a donation for that to happen. So appreciate it. I'm not going to spend too much time this week talking about that. I do wish we had more donations. We're having a lot more listeners. So if a few of you would just step up and make life a lot easier for Sound and keeping things balanced and going. This place is not a spectator sport. We might want to hope that it is, but people might even panic you into not being that spectator, and you might even be saved by a newfound friend through it. Well, not like me behind the woodshed and the new chemical warfare assault, not unlike the bio-warfare assault that it was done to me last year. No joke, folks. People are psychopaths. But like this woman here, accused gold scammer fooled into accepting chocolate coins, alert coin dealer uncover sting foil, alleged $700,000 Social Security phone scam. The alleged bagman in a $700,000 gold scam walked away from a Michigan coin shop with something far less valuable, foil-wrapped chocolate. If you can believe this story. Authorities say scammers convince a 79-year-old Ottawa County widow that her Social Security number was tied to terrorism and that she needed to turn her savings into gold so law enforcement could track the criminals, Woods, John Hogan, and Susan Samples report. Listen to that. but here my point on this will be just the notice of this. They're scammers. They have a story. Listen very carefully. This should have been a good heads up. I don't know how they're going to take gold and be able to track it, but this is the what happened to a woman. When she wired $700,000 to Grand Rapids Coins, owner Ben Soldat grew suspicious of her urgency and confusion and called the Kent County Sheriff's Office. Detectives confirmed she was being duped, then set up a sting. An undercover officer, disguised as an elderly woman, picked up a package of chocolate coins from Soldat and delivered it to the supposed courier waiting nearby. Police arrested the courier, 20-year-old Yug B. Chuhan of Illinois, who now faces two felony charges, each carrying up to 20 years in prison, and is being held on $100,000 bond with an ICE detainer. Investigators believe the scheme originated overseas and say similar gold-based scams targeting older Americans are on the rise nationwide. This is why I'm reading this. Listen for these types. They may not become this way, but they're scams nonetheless. The widow, who recovered her money, hopes her story warns others before they're cleaned out. So be careful out there. Pay attention. I know it may sound, you know, I always read these and say how ridiculous they are, and I see lots of people will look at their emails and they, you know, will be enticed to maybe touch the email. So many times I've said, don't touch, leave it alone, just delete it. Don't even get into it. There's just something about them. However, you never know what you might be faced with. So always pay attention and don't move too fast and don't move way too fast at all. And speaking of being careful, connected to do as I say, not as I do. Pentagon raises alarm over Israel's unhinged spying on U.S. officials. U.S. officials say Israeli spying on Washington has intensified during the war with Iran. Section 224 of the proposed 2027 National Defense Authorization Act, the, quote, United States of Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative, and is reported to create a binding relationship with a foreign nation in our critical defense and military systems, as well as H.R. 7540, the House FUTURES Act, Futures Act, is frame for upgraded technologies, unified research, and enhanced security. Please put these together. These technological bindings are going to be serious problems for us. We're going to take our best technology and we're going to hand it to a psychopath in the form of a nation. S-385-5, listen for these, they're running now, they're in the system now. S-3855, the Senate's Futures Act, framework for upgraded technologies, unified research, and enhanced security, I would say for whom. The Satan-Yehu resolution, which moves from reviewable traditional foreign assistance to buried bureaucratic, quote, mutual defense cooperation, close quote, joint investment and shared development. And then we have Section 622 of Senate Bill 4615, the Fiscal Year 2027 Intelligence Authorization Act, removing the need for the number one enemy of the United States, Israel, to continue spying on America, though the proposed accelerated direct intelligence sharing is going to take care of that. And with that, American national security, I would have to estimate, is gone. As the Zionista compromise Congress creators putting Israel first, onshoring and internalizing the Zionista parasite into the military industrial complex supply chain, weapons development, defense technology, production, AI, and data centers of all things, would you guess? So phone Congress with your objection. The number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. You get the switchboard. Call your representative and your senator and tell them to vote no on the Section 224. Oppose the Futures Act. Oppose intelligence sharing lock-ins. And reject any plan that replaces visible aid with hidden defense industry dependency. Communicate your objection, even if you think it's futile. You may need to use that objection in the future, and remind them that the Constitution requires a two-thirds vote from the Senate as a treaty, not some Pentagon reorganization trick. Let them know you're watching this stuff. I know it seems futile, but do it. We've seen some interesting responses when we finally got organized as people. This is long back when, like I said, our first broadcast network. And we've watched stuff go on and change right as people started calling in. We'd see the news reflected how many calls started to come in. Can't prove we were part of that, but we were part of it. I can guarantee you that. And then ask them, did they forget what Israel did to the USS Liberty surveillance ship on April-June 1967 during the Six-Day War? And if they'll get in bed with the number one enemy of Americans, why not get that intimate with any other nation in the world? Why just Zionists? Yeah, treason indeed. And people are watching this in this condition. And the question is asked, why has Pentagon assessed threat of Israeli espionage as critical? And we see the suggestions by a supposedly American constituency representatives and senators wanting to onshore and hide Israel inside the Pentagon. U.S. agencies warn of Israel intensifying efforts to collect information on the talks to end the war. The U.S. Defense Department has reportedly raised its assessment of the espionage threat posed by Israel to the highest category of critical, according to American intelligence and defense officials. Well, this is somebody inside or a few inside that are watching and not liking it. These might be the white hats, if we can call them that. These are the ones that are really watching and don't, they're not going to let this happen. Not on their watch in this regard. And the first salvo is then put out into the public. This is how serious this is. The assessment, first published by NBC on Friday and followed by the New York Times, comes at a time when Washington is pursuing diplomatic engagement with Iran, while its ally Israel is opposed to the talks aimed at ending the conflict now 100 days long on Sunday. What happened to 4 days? What happened to a week? What happened to 2 weeks? Didn't even fit the normal two-week Trump time. U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have publicly diverged in their approach to the war. Washington wants to extricate itself amid political pressure, while Israel is still pushing to topple the Iranian government. Don't you think it would be Trump wants to extricate himself amid the political pressure? You see how they changed that right there? But at any rate, there is a divergence going on. They're being noticed. This is not the first time Israel has been accused of espionage against the United States, its closest ally and benefactor, with which it maintains extensive security and intelligence cooperation. Analyst Rob Geish Finfold said Iran will likely read the latest developments as, quote, enemies basically bickering and misjudging each other, close quote. This could be seen as advantageous by Tehran, Geish Finfold, professor at King's College London, said. However, he stressed that the same dynamic also carries a serious risk for Iran. It also demonstrates that Israel is more likely or more susceptible to going rogue and basically acting unilaterally outside of the coordination with the United States, close quote, he said. And we've seen that when Netanyahu told Trump, I'll agree to stop bombing Lebanon. And the next thing we know, after the agreement, he bombs Beirut. And that certainly is not the only example. Here's what you need to know, they tell us. What did the Pentagon say? According to NBC News and the New York Times, citing anonymous current and former U.S. officials, the Pentagon Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, ARM, recently upgraded Israel's counterintelligence threat level from high to critical, the most serious designation in its internal assessment system. The warning was based on Israeli intelligence agencies intensifying efforts to collect information on U.S. military personnel, government officials, and policy discussions. The news report said the concern was focused on American officials involved in shaping Washington's approach towards Iran as the two foes continue to negotiate an end to the war that has sent global energy prices soaring and probably the price of everything else. Two people controlling the rest of the world's population, and nobody can stop them, is amazing to me. None of us have stopped them. Why is that? And then, my view on this is how? What is that mechanism? And I think that's maybe where the big trick was. They didn't tell us the how, and then we kind of walked away from how we were supposed to know the how, and so they have us where they want us. As I've been saying for years and years and years, long decades, I don't think a civil war in America is coming. We've already got that answer. That question's coming back around. Some people are saying the same thing that I've been saying for years and years. Again, decades. We know the answer to a civil war. That's why they want to have it. So we got to do a little something a lot different, actually. A lot different. An intensified Israeli effort to learn about U.S. positions in talks with Iran has crossed a line, according to some American officials. According to the news outlet, intelligence assessments pointed to increased Israeli surveillance efforts in recent weeks targeting U.S. military and government figures. They include Trump envoy and key negotiator Steve Witkoff, the Pentagon's top policy official, Eldridge A. Colby, and one of his deputies, Michael P. Domino IV. Witkoff, one of the billionaire boys, real estate developer, I don't know what they're interested in him for, but Witkoff, who also talks with Russia, was chief negotiator in the nuclear talks before Israel and the U.S. launched the attack on Iran on 28 February. The reports also referenced incidents in which U.S. defense personnel working in Israel allegedly discovered software on their phones, quote, to tap their communications had been surreptitiously installed on their phones, close quote. We'll have an article for that. We'll go through a little bit different, a little bit more in depth in a moment. Again, another report saying the same thing. Two witnesses should make the fact, at least until we find other evidence to throw it out. So it's happening. That's the whole point about this. The newspaper said the DIA reports found Israel spying on the U.S., which has occurred before. Yeah, likely since before 1948, right, James? Jesus, Angleton. Such a friend of America. Spying on the U.S. surged from the late 2024 onwards, you think? Just then? And coinciding with U.S. President Joe Biden's administration stepping up the pressure on Israel over its genocide in Gaza. Didn't I mention the USS Liberty just a few minutes ago? Was that in like 2024 and a half or something? The reported increase in spying continued after Trump was elected to a second term in November 2024 and began shaping his administration's policies toward Iran. And I just, for those of you that are maybe partially listening, no, it happened. USS Liberty was back in, what, 67, I think we said. Tensions between Trump and Netanyahu have come to the surface in the past week amid reports the U.S. president called the Israeli prime minister, quote, F asterisk, 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 I-N-G, crazy. Close quote, and I'm just wondering, do they know how to spell? But anyway, due to Israel's escalation in Lebanon, but it's only crazy if Trump willfully ignores the greater Zionist political movement project, or that continuing the war saves Netanyahu's not-so-kosher bacon at home with his endless postponed ongoing corruption trials. At least 3,500 people have been killed in Israeli attacks in Lebanon. Another nation being attacked by this psychopathic group. Trump has been pressing Israel to halt its attacks on Lebanon, but the bombardment in the south was continued, undermining the potential deal with Iran, which insists both issues are inseparable. And so let's focus a little bit on that. Trump was pressing what, a button? Pressing, does he call the shots? Is he stopping it? A switch? What? What is he doing? No, he's just pressing. He has no power, actually. While intelligence gathering between friendly nations is not unusual, some U.S. officials reportedly believe recent Israeli activities have gone beyond the Washington traditional considers acceptable among allies. According to officials cited in the reports, U.S. intelligence agencies have become increasingly concerned that Israel is seeking greater insight into U.S. policy discussions and negotiating positions specifically with Iran. The fact that the Zionist Palestine occupier is actively pursuing the greater Zionist political movement project is enough of a concern to make sure these foreign agents are at least an arm's length across the pond. And I don't mean connected through the military arm or funds transfers. This threat is such that if these 224 types of integration happen, there is no America to make great again. And no way to fix the problem, short of a war against the federal government. Not a civil war, a war against the derelict, treasonous federal district occupier empowered by the Civil War, showing Trump has been a preeminent liar-in-chief agent for a foreign power, whether compromised or not. I would have thought this condition was beyond critical long ago. That being declared critical only now indicates a compromised intelligence structure already, and only being made public now, a violation to the duty to maintain an informed people, where purporting the United States of America is a democracy or even a democratic republic. This condition is not merely critical. This condition is an existential threat to all Americans. What has been the response from the Israeli and U.S. governments? Israel has denied the allegations. Of course, deny, deny, deny. But even if the denial is true, even if completely false, relative to national security, foreign interests can't be trusted. The government does not even trust its own, proven in requiring security clearance investigations for U.S. employees. Or any government employee. They're going to check you out. No one's really presumed innocent of anything, actually, and never has been. The Israeli embassy in Washington said it was completely false that the country spies on U.S. government officials or American institutions. Quote, Israel does not gather intelligence on American entities, let alone U.S. government officials, close quote, the spokesman as saying. The White House officially also reportedly dismissed the NBC report, saying the, quote, entire story is false and sourced to someone who doesn't have any knowledge of what's going on, close quote. And I'm not going to, may not get to it this broadcast, but there's a document, a story, I think it was the New York Times that just made a decision, a discussion, a report, an exclusive report about what Trump and his administration is doing in the Situation Room to perception manage you all to not believe what you already know. It's the whole and entire administration is trying to figure out how to keep the Epstein files, of which Trump is certainly named and certainly exposed, terribly exposed, quiet. So when I hear the White House officially reported, I'm now realizing, if I didn't know it before, again, we're always looking for that proof, that this nonsense goes on behind the scenes. It is. Real time. In fact, all they're doing is a cover-up. I don't even know how they get anything else done. But anyway, here we go. So the White House reports something. Who cares, really? The entire story is false. I'm not so sure. Go look at other facts. That's why I bring up a couple of different pieces of content that corroborate each other, so we can see the, at least we got somewhere to go. Again, it's kind of hard sometimes. Everyone wants to use the same story. I always find some story that has only one source, and it's maybe not a very good source, and so you kind of don't want to run with that. And you just, I'm not here to call the news out and be the breaking news guy. So to me, I can sit back a bit to look and see what this might be about. It might be important, but it may not be what it's really set up to do, or it might be just be fantasy. And we don't want to waste our time with that. But anyway, the U.S. The White House here is saying its entirety is false, and yet we know that the White House lies as much as it needs to in order to do what it needs to do to protect the administration. Now, that's loyalty, but when it starts to allow crime, I start to become more suspect over all the time, and I think I'm way back suspect and beyond suspect because you know them when you see them. You don't even have to go through this nonsense of them false, saying that the story is false. You go find your proofs, and when you find your proofs, that's all you need. Now it's up to them to show different. Again, we the people have the appearance of impropriety that we can lay on them. They have the duty to keep their appearance of impropriety off of them. Al Jazeera could not independently verify the media reports in the U.S. and Israeli responses. Has Israel previously spied on the U.S.? Well, yes, Israel has previously been involved in espionage cases targeting the U.S., although such incidents have not been spoken about much given their close ties. Well, I'll be. They don't tell us about them. Not only do they feed us lies, they don't tell us about when things go on and go wrong. Again, I always say back here behind the woodshed, it's what they tell us. It's way worse than what they're explaining to us. The most famous example is the Jonathan Pollard affair. Civilian intelligence analyst working for the U.S. Navy was arrested in 1985 after passing large quantities of classified information to Israel. He later pleaded guilty to espionage and served 30 years in prison before being released on parole in 2015. The Pollard case remains one of the most significant espionage scandals in the history of the U.S.-Israeli relations and continued to shape perception within the parts of the American intelligence community. And if I have the story correct, and excuse me if I don't, I think Trump was just pardon Pollard on this. However, espionage between close allies is not uncommon, said academic Andreas Grieg. Quote, Israel has a particularly long track record of conducting intelligence operations inside the U.S., soon to be internalized if Section 224 of the 2027 NDAA goes through. It's proposed right now. Call your senators. Call your representatives. Tell them you object to all of it. The professor of the Department of Security at King College London told Al Jazeera, quote, over decades, Israel has sought to penetrate U.S. policymaking circles through both formal and informal networks, including intelligence and lobbying channels. Lobbying channels. AIPAC, is that you and all your other subterranean creatures? In order to gain insight into American strategic thinking and decision-making, close quote, he added, don't you think it's well past just the insight? They're actually taking over your government. In other words, we have billionaires going in to take out Massey. We have billionaires supporting their candidate in Maine. Billionaires. Hundreds. Where'd they all come from? Can only probably be had in a fiat system that way. And that's our other underlying problem. However, staying here, nevertheless, Washington has for years provided billions in military aid and weapons sales to Israel. Well, maybe they're all part of the billions of weapon sales as well, including throughout the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza. The U.S. Congress is also currently debating a section of the new defense bill which would integrate the two countries' research and development for weaponry to an unprecedented degree. The U.S. has also provided diplomatic cover to Israel at the UN and other international bodies. Why has Israel allegedly ramped up its espionage activities in the U.S.? According to academic Craig, Israel is, quote, deeply concerned, close quote, about the trajectory of U.S. negotiations with Iran. Quote, from the Israeli perspective, the recent conflict with Iran was effectively a joint U.S.-Israeli war, yet the United States is now in a position to shape the diplomatic endgame, close quote, he told Al Jazeera. I thought we weren't in a war, folks. I thought the United States, Trump said, we're not in a war. I thought Pete Hegseth said we're not in a war. We're only in a conflict. Quote, the principal Israeli concern is that Washington could agree to a deal that establishes an enduring diplomatic framework, potentially lasting years or even decades. Well, you would hope so, wouldn't you, folks? Which could constrain Israeli freedom of military maneuver against Iran in the future. Israeli policymakers, therefore, have a strong incentive to stay ahead of U.S. deliberations and understand negotiations in real time, close quote. Moreover, Craig said Israeli intelligence gathering also serves a, quote, strategic purpose, close quote, which is to identify, quote, opportunities to influence, derail, or undermine negotiations if Israeli leaders judge the process to be contrary to their security interests, close quote, interfering with American interests. Well, while Israel sees the United States as its indispensable patron and closest strategic partner, it has simultaneously treated the U.S. as a legitimate intelligence target whenever interests diverge, close quote, he added. Quote, what surprises many observers is the extent to which Israel, despite being heavily dependent on American military, diplomatic, and financial support, has developed the capacity to penetrate multiple layers of U.S. policymaking and cultivate influence across key institutions involved in the American statecraft, close quote. According to an analyst and Iran expert Nagar Mortazavi, Israel's reported espionage in the current context is not new and has passed precedent. Israel's opposition to U.S.-Iran negotiations goes back to the time of U.S. President Barack Obama when he signed a nuclear deal with Iran in 2015, which the U.S. under Trump withdrew from in 2018, the Trumpenstein that Trump is. Writing's on the wall when you see that one paragraph, what was really going on with Trump taking this out? It wasn't a bad deal. It's just that Israel didn't want it. And so he said it's a bad deal for Israel. He just left that part out. Quote, the Israeli Prime Minister, Netanyahu, did not want any deals or serious negotiations or normalization between Tehran and Washington, and he tried to stop it publicly and privately in any way he could. Any way he could, close quote, she told Al Jazeera. But Netanyahu should have no say or insight into what loyal non-dual citizen Americans decide is the best national security, geopolitical, or other vital interests of we the people. Like peace, for instance. Moreover, Mortazavi said that the ongoing war on Iran was, quote, not going as planned or as promised, close quote, and that Trump wants, quote, to exit the war, and he has to do it through diplomacy, close quote. I thought the other story was that Washington wanted that. So this is all about Trump. Quote, at this point, it is very clear the U.S. interests and Israeli interests are no longer overlapping. They're divergent, close quote, she added. They won't be if Section 224 of the 2027 NDA and the other supporting acts pass into law, the Zionists will have preferential access to information that they can put their foreign agents in the gates on to interfere with anything the Zionists don't like. With that type of access, they can also influence, if not control, whether anyone would see the intelligence or information through security classifications which you might find of interest, are regulated through the War Department at 50 U.S.C. Code 3, Section 3341, including civilians. In this post-Founding Father, Lincolnized, occupied, presumed guilty terrorist era. And the Zionist genocidal oppressors already have too much unaccountable treasonous access now, serving a, quote, strategic purpose, close quote, which is to identify, quote, opportunities to influence, derail, or undermine negotiations if Israeli leaders judge the process to be contrary to their security interests, close quote, as we just read earlier. And yes, read. Get the links. Follow along where you can. And for those of you that can't and have the speaker on blast while working, doing something else, thank you very much for tuning in and making the broadcast on this network a part of your daily routine. Two times a day, even, for that hallucinating passcast. And reminder of the threat and treachery. U.S. military personnel in Israel found secret spyware on their phones as Congress pushes U.S.-Israeli military merger. Again, another report, and more specific to the denial, the story of denial, right on the time, right, I guess, when we needed to see it. They really don't need, can't give them any more access. When I say that, my mind goes right to the technology. What technology that they don't have? We don't talk too much, and we see old Russia doing great things in China, and we may not have a hypersonic missile. Maybe we don't need it. Maybe our technology is that we don't need it. I don't know. We've had some pretty phenomenal technology in this country designed and made for, and supremacy of that for a long time. We're going to hand that to Israel? Yeah, I don't think so. So Israel, that's why Israel's after this. Any way they can. U.S. Defense personnel stationed in Israel discovered that communications intercepting software has been secretly installed on their mobile phones, prompting the Pentagon's intelligence arm to raise the espionage threat from a key ally to its highest ever level, and this is then the cause for that level change. This is no small thing. This wasn't just a story. They found it. And I'm going to suggest we're not seeing it here yet. I can't remember if it comes up in the story. But this is talking about all that software I've been talking about for years. The stuff that Snowjob Snowden brought us out to, also on top, to do what they're doing. And Trump has onboarded those companies into our United States infrastructure against us. Horrors to the Pomeranians, I can tell you that. The Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, raised Israel's counterintelligence designation from high to critical in recent weeks and produced a 7-page classified brief with charts documenting the threat, a current and former U.S. officials have said. The critical designation is the most serious rating in the DIA's internal assessment system. The DIA report names top U.S. officials. The assessment identified several senior American officials as alleged targets of Israeli surveillance. And they go through the same characters of the other story. And the other story didn't say it was the cause, though. And that's why I found this story consistent and a little bit more important in that it sets up, why did they even do that? You think it's so controlled, yet there's some people inside the government that said, no, it's not on my watch. I'm going to make that report. The DIA brief was drafted amid mounting alarm over systemic attempts to monitor Trump administration decision-making, though officials noted it is unclear whether one specific interception event triggered the upgrade. The document described Israel's ability to conduct both human espionage and technical collection at a critical level. The surveillance reportedly focused on officials shaping Washington's approach to Iran as the two adversaries negotiate an end to the wider conflict. I have to add, let's just watch whether or not we're really adversaries here. I really have a problem with this and the way it lays out, that this is not the plan. This is not, we're watching how this plan works out. There's a different story we're coming out to, and I've brought it up before. Again, this global order is shifting, but to where, and what is Trump onshoring, and where is Iran going and then being brought back through, as I've been talking to you about what China, Russia, and Iran are doing through BRICS to go back to that global financial system. So be careful when I see the two adversaries. Yeah, well, we can play that theater, can't we? So just keep that possibility out there is all I'm saying for y'all. One senior U.S. official described the aggressiveness of Israeli intelligence collection during the second Trump administration as unhinged. Israeli spying surge follows long pattern. Israeli espionage against the U.S. surged from late 2024, first as the Biden administration pressed Israel to curb military operations in Gaza, then continuing into 2025 as the Trump administration weighed options for confronting Iran. The DIA report documented additional incidents outlining historical friction points and past Israeli efforts to compromise communication. This includes a 2019 incident where the U.S. government concluded that Israel was most likely behind the Stingray cell phone surveillance devices found near the White House during Trump's first term. Israel's threat designation now surpasses every other American ally and exceeds some adversarial nations. And I read that last paragraph before. Remember, the FBI was doing that as well to us all. So if the Mossad moved from CIA to FBI, we could probably say yeah and not be too far wrong. And they can prove our error. We don't have to prove anything. We can operate by the appearance of impropriety, if we only would. The most well-known case of Israel espionage is, again, the Jonathan Pollard case. We'll read all about that. But most recently now, the NSO Group, the Israeli firm behind Pegasus spyware, most recently now, the NSO Group, and I've mentioned this group behind which years ago, the Israeli firm behind Pegasus spyware has faced global scrutiny after its tools were used against journalists, activists, and diplomats. Congress pushes military merger. The espionage revelation landed the same week the House Armed Services Committee advanced Section 224 of the chairman's marks for the fiscal year 2027 National Defense Authorization Act. The provision would deeply integrate U.S. and Israeli military research, development, and data systems. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu publicly endorsed the plan, writing to U.S. lawmakers that, quote, the time has now arrived for us to move from aid recipient to partner. Where was your letter? Why is he having any effect with the United, you're representing your constituents is another problem that isn't talked about right there. Why does he have such a high influence all by himself and you don't? Democratic Representative Ro Khanna opposed it, arguing that Netanyahu designed the framework so Congress would no longer need to vote on military aid. Israel and White House deny the claims. And that is the problem. The denial is coming from the compromised White House, so-called. And the software was on the U.S. military personnel phones, wasn't it? The Israeli embassy in Washington called the espionage allegations completely false, saying Israel does not gather intelligence on American entities, let alone U.S. government officials. Okay, let's just parse this just a little bit. Well, no, you get it someone else to do it. That's in your pocket, or even worse. All the billionaire boys, right? A White House official dismissed the report as go false and sourced to someone who doesn't have any knowledge on what's going on. meant the Pentagon intelligence was looking at stuff of a whole lot of people, I think, weren't they? The disclosures, this is your disclosure, folks. Alien invaded. The disclosures come as Trump and Netanyahu have clashed publicly over Iran and Israel's continued operation in Lebanon, with Trump acknowledging he called Netanyahu crazy during a tense phone call last week. And that crazy kabuki theater, though, folks, so entertaining. House vote means spy law will lapse. This is a big story, very big story, and this is the way things should start to work if we can just keep pressing. Democratic backlash, giving the credits to a party, political party, not you. Where are you? Where's your letters? Where's your noise, even? Democratic backlash over Trump intelligence pick, Deep Six's a FISA extension. A major U.S. spying tool is now headed for its first ever lapse. Now, it's a spying tool. The United States uses Israeli spying tools. They're onshoring all the spying tools. Whose spying tool was that 9/11 imposition? The House on Tuesday rejected a short-term extension of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, a program that lets U.S. agencies monitor foreign targets without a warrant and can incidentally sweep up Americans' communications. The temporary fix, which needed two-thirds support but failed 218-198, would have pushed the law's expiration to July 2nd. Instead, it's now poised to sunset Friday night, with the House not set to return until June 23rd. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson does not plan to recall members for a new vote before then because, quote, what would be the point, close quote. The vote collapsed amid a revolt by House Democrats angered over President Trump's plan to install political ally Bill Pulte, who lacks national security experience as acting director of national intelligence. Only 7 Democrats backed the extension, notes the Hill. 19 Republicans also opposed the extension, some demanding new privacy safeguards. GOP leaders argue the administration can keep the program alive via executive order, though tech companies could challenge that in court. Quote, anybody who votes no is casting a dangerous vote, warned House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, while Democrats led by Hakeem Jeffries insisted they cannot support reauthorization without, quote, significant reforms. A similar extension looks set to fail in the Senate. Looks set. So for all y'all that stepped up and contacted these Congress critters with your objection, thank you very much. Sounds like another round of calls or other communications is needed to drive the point home, though, especially to the Senate right now. And those like Scalise need to be gone. But that's not likely to happen, is it, Lindsey Graham? All I can say is 60% of the South Carolina Zionist-loving, Christian-hating voters for Graham didn't appear and don't appear to be any of my countrymen. I don't know what's on your cotton-picking minds. Is there something in the water there? Or is it the fact, if not who voted, but who counts the votes? And we have one more proof the people of South Carolina are an occupied people. And you doubt, if not the voters, that the vote counters are Christian-hating? It also occurs to me no one can be a supporter of genocide or the murdering of people or the harming of the hair on the head of a little one. Quote, that it would be better for someone to have a millstone hung around their neck and be drowned than to cause a little one to stumble in their faith, as we can read in Matthew 18:6, causing their death, it seems, is going a little tad bit more than just stumbling interference, don't you think? And not just the principal, the accessories as well. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come, as we can read at Luke 17:1, if we're looking for some guidance at all, that the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, would agree with you in agreeing with a genocidal psychopath. In Wired for War, new revelations expose Israel's cyber spooks. I'm bringing this together. I can't tell you how important it is what some traitors have done inside the government that tend to claim that they represent their constituents and they're bringing a foreign power, onshoring and hiding a foreign power. Now, then be careful. Oh, that didn't happen. But they're already using the cyber spook technology that Trump just allowed in. That digital infrastructure, remember? They're going to be part of that Israeli integration as well. And all their companies are sitting right here to run that data. These war criminals use those AIs that they're going to be using to kill people. Wired for war. Black Corps has targeted elections in France, New York, Scotland, and two African states, officials in Paris have claimed. An Israeli cyber company suspected of interfering in French local elections and targeting pro-Palestinian candidates also allegedly meddled in votes in New York City and Scotland and ran operations in Angola and Togo, officials in Paris have said. Last month, a Reuters report claimed that French authorities believed Israeli firm Black Corps was behind an online smear campaign targeting three French mayoral candidates from the left-wing pro-Palestine France Unbowed Party in Marseille, Toulouse, and Rabat ahead of March local elections. French Interior Minister Laurence Nunez later confirmed that a probe was underway but would not reveal the focus of the investigation. On Thursday, France's government disinformation detection agency, Viginum, suggested that Black Corps may have been operating well beyond France. Quote, this modus operandi has not limited to municipal elections in France, close quote, Viginum chief Marc-Antoine Brillant said. Quote, it also appears to have been used to carry out foreign digital interference operations in other countries or regions, such as Angola, Togo, the elections in Scotland, and the 2025 municipal election in New York, close quote. You know anything about this, Lindsey Graham? Of course you don't. But just like Slovenian Prime Minister Janez Janša lifting an embargo on arms sales to Israel after allegedly enlisting the help of an Israeli private intelligence firm to oust his left-wing pro-Palestinian predecessor, you'll continue to be compromised as a service, won't you? Viginum said it detected Black Corps-linked accounts targeting John Swinney, the first minister of Scotland, who was described Israel's campaign in Gaza as a, quote, man-made humanitarian catastrophe, close quote, and said a genocide that may be unfolding in the Palestinian enclave. Maybe. Only. Could be. Regarding New York, Berlant did not explicitly say who was targeted in the 2025 mayoral race, but the vote was won by Zohran Mamdani, a self-declared socialist and longtime supporter of Palestine who became the first Muslim elected mayor of the city. Now, at first glance, supporting a longtime supporter of Palestine seemed inconsistent with the interloping of Israeli interests. Then I remembered about Netanyahu paying Hamas for years, then using Hamas to kill its own people, justified by the Zionist cannibal directive. As cover, they used it to justify, at least to themselves, the genocide and normalizing of universal war crimes and attacking the rest of the Middle East. All that's now proposed to be onshored within the Pentagon bureaucracy through that Section 224 of the 2027 NDAA, if enacted into law, if you can hear the seriousness of the Netanyahu-inspired overthrow of the Republic. The Viginum chief acknowledged that the probe, quote, did not make it possible to identify the sponsor or sponsors, if indeed they exist, behind this foreign digital interference, close quote. However, French Prime Minister Sebastian Lecornu said Paris had asked Israel for explanations on Black Corps' actions and for helping identify whoever may have been behind the smear campaign. Let me go back to this Black Corps. In the previous report, Janša, using the intelligence, it was Black Cube. So we see a consistency for the name just to keep a lookout for. Black Corps has described itself as an elite influence cyber and technology company built for information warfare. And these companies are being onshored by Trump and in your digital infrastructure. Palantir of which is really grabbing up almost everything at this point. We don't need a lot of them, that's for sure. Built for the modern era of information warfare that provided governments and political campaigns with, quote, cutting-edge strategies, advanced tools, and robust security to shape narratives, close quote. Advertising the wired-for-war capacity for militarized perception management. After press scrutiny, its website and LinkedIn page went offline. The controversy comes against the backdrop of increasingly strained France-Israel ties, with Paris condemning West Jerusalem over its strikes in Lebanon, a former French mandate territory, which had led to mounting civilian casualties. France has also barred Israel's right-wing national security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, from entering the country after he posted a video of himself taunting blindfolded and zip-tied activists from the global Samud Gaza aid flotilla, which included French citizens. Not nice people. Now we can see it from France. How many more reports do we need before we start acting to protect ourselves, right? Cheer at home. And speaking of Zionist Christian-hating values, Israeli settlers set fire to area near historic Christian village in West Bank. Palestinian media outlets have reported that Israeli settlers have set fires near the Christian village of Tabay near Ramallah, the administrative capital of Palestine, reports the Times of Israel, TOI. No injuries have yet been reported in the incident, the TOI says. It is the latest attack in recent months to target Tabay, a Christian community with a church that dates back to the 5th century. Israeli settlers had previously set fire to cars in the area and tagged a building and vehicle with graffiti. Baranaz Ibamo, a politics commentator, wrote on Threads, quote, right now in Tabay, an ancient Christian village in occupied Palestine, Israeli settlers are setting fires. The 5th century Church of St. George is under threat. Homes are burning. Quote, this is the place Jesus took refuge after Lazarus, the oldest living Christian community in the world, and somehow it's barely a headline. The Bay made headlines last year when U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee visited the village after instances of settler violence. Huckabee, an ordained Baptist minister, I would say in name only, but he has to save face here, had called the arson attack, quote, an act of terror, close quote, demanding, quote, harsh consequences, close quote, for perpetrators, knowing full well that no consequences will result, or not unless some nominal consequence would further Zionist interests. According to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, settler attacks in the central West Bank have increased sharply since 2023, with arson, property destruction, and assaults. The OCHA reports claim that Israeli forces frequently accompany or fail to intervene during these attacks, creating what the UN has described as a, quote, environment of impunity, close quote, that enables further violence. And I thought there was a ceasefire going on, folks. And if anyone, in particular those thinking the U.S. was established a Christian nation, you might want to read the Treaty of Tripoli signed in 1796, which includes a clause stating that, quote, the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, close quote, in that this treaty was intended to assure Muslim states that the U.S. would not engage in religious conflicts. To show the United States religious sentiment and erroneous belief, but consider yourself Christian and hold the equally erroneous belief that these non-religious political Zionist parasite warmongers think much good about Jesus Christ or of those who dedicate their lives and salvation to Jesus Christ, the King of Peace, don't you know? As your representatives consider yoking to evil with the proposed Section 224 of the 2027 NDAA and other supportive legislation, meaning whoever these representatives are to even think to entertain yoking to evil, they are not Christian or Muslim or even religious Jews, so-called, at all. Were I to believe the Torah-adhering Jews, so-called, whom differentiate for us, and whom I have no reason to doubt, and if and I didn't get it from simply reading, studying, and finding the fact on my own, and you can too with a half a hankering, if and you haven't yet, and not putting much on isms and ists, differentiating the distinction between Judean beliefs and the political secular aspirations of yet another cultural appropriation deceiver, the Zionist Federation political movement, which emerged only since the late 19th century, late 1800s, but not of Christ, not of Moses, not of Abraham, not of Jacob, the man renamed Israel, not the country, the man, and only one of the sons and grandsons of which Israelites is called Judah, the small kingdom from which is derived Judean, but of Theodore Herzl, considered the father of modern political Zionism, or now and only since 1948, the political project pretending to be a democratic theocracy. And yet another reminder, Israel attacked Lebanese cities mentioned in the Bible. The deadly strike on Tyre comes amid concerns that the Israeli military wants to control sites sacred to Christians and Muslims. Israel has struck the historic city of Tyre in Lebanon, targeting the Christian quarter for the first time after ordering a partial evacuation. Who are these people? The attack has heightened local concerns over the fate of the city's revered biblical heritage sites. 8 people were killed in a single strike on Tyre's eastern edge on Tuesday. The Christian quarter, located in the city's northwest, had been excluded from previous Israeli warnings and had sheltered people displaced from elsewhere. The Israeli military issued the blanket evacuation order after claiming that Hezbollah militants were hiding in the quarter, a claim disputed by its residents, local officials, and the Lebanese army. What right does this invading Zionist demon have to order anything? And if and you don't already know, the answer is the Zionist marauders have no right at all. One of the world's oldest continuously inhabited cities and on UNESCO World Heritage Site, Tyre is mentioned repeatedly in both the Old and New Testaments. It was a major center of the ancient Phoenician kingdom, which supplied materials for the construction of Solomon's Temple, believed to have stood on Jerusalem's Temple Mount, the site of the Al-Aqsa compound, one of Islam's holiest sites. No one needs to be considered religious, so-called, to appreciate whom came before us and what they did, that Zionists have or can have any right to steal that evidence and experience from us. This is why you do not attack and destroy culture. The development comes amid growing tension over religious and heritage sites across the region, with critics accusing Israel of expanding its control over locations sacred to Muslims and Christians. Again, this is Israelis are not a religious group anyway. It is a political movement that's pretending to be things. Last month, Israel issued an expropriation order covering the village of Nabi Samuel in the occupied West Bank, home to what is believed to be the tomb of Prophet Samuel, a figure revered in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Can I say see? Zionists will attack all the religions. Palestinian officials and religious leaders have condemned the move as an attempt to erase Muslim heritage and strengthen Israeli control over contested holy sites. Condemned. Condemn the move. The world should be stomping down on these Zionists. Take them out. But Trump is allowing all of it, isn't he? Allowing every destruction, ripping off the whole of mankind, this destroyer-in-chief. From the Department of, you don't declare no stinking shots. Satan Yehu has no choice on Iran deal, says Trump. Israel will not decide the terms of an agreement with Tehran because, quote, I called the shots, close quote, the U.S. president told the Financial Times. If Trump called the shots, the Israelis would not have started bombing Beirut. On the other hand, if Trump does call the shots, then Trump is a war criminal for calling for the bombing of Beirut, Lebanon. Did Trump intend to admit to being a war criminal? Or is it a better bet, the better, best bet, the very bestest bet, that the bloviator-in-chief also calls Satan Yehu, whom already said to his people, we ain't stopping our greater Zionist political movement world domination project. Earlier, Israel struck Beirut's southern suburbs without issuing the warnings it typically gives before attacks in densely populated areas. The strike on residential building killed at least 2 people and wounded 20 others, according to Lebanon's health ministry. Trump made the remarks in an interview with Financial Times on Sunday, shortly after Iran fired a missile barrage at Israel in retaliation for Israeli strikes on Beirut. Tehran described the attack as a warning and threatened, quote, crushing blows, close quote, if Israel continues its strike in Lebanon or retaliates against Iran. Now, I'll believe the crushing blows when I see them. Crushing will be when they stop Israel. Until then, it's all geopolitical kabuki theater. The people are being fodder. The scene playing out as they support their respective actors. And Trump said that the Iranian missile strikes would not affect his push for a nuclear deal with Tehran. Well, what does any nuclear deal with Iran have to do with Satan Yehu or a ceasefire that Trump needs to bloviate how much he calls the shots with Satan Yehu? Iran has said a deal with the U.S. must include a permanent Israeli ceasefire, effectively requiring Israel to end its attack against Lebanon. Quote, he won't have any choice, close quote, Trump told outlet referring to Satan Yehu. Quote, I call the shots. I call all the shots. He doesn't call the shots, close quote. Well, I guess if Trump tells a lie long enough, right? Well, not really, because reality finds a way, especially when you get behind a woodshed. This is BTWRLM 672. I think we have been witnessing to date Iran is calling the shots. I think that's been pretty clear. The only thing Satan Yehu is calling is the U.S. Congress and the Israeli lobby machine compromise Congress critters to pass the laws to make Israel great again, so that he can be killing your sons and daughters for the United Zionist States of America. And if Trump was calling the shots and loyal to Americans, he would have stopped Satan Yehu or taken decisive action to take the means of committing war crimes and genocide away from Satan Yehu or the Zionist regime. So, second proof, the bloviator-in-chief doesn't call the shots. He won't have any choice. Indeed, it appears clearly, Trump holds no cards again. At least none Satan Yehu will allow him to play, which would be to show the world who is wearing the leash. And in not doing so, answers any doubts, don't it? Maybe when you contact your Congress critters to stop Section 224 of the 2027 NDAA and the other acts, you tell them that the bloviator-in-chief is weak and detrimental to the interests of the United States and national security, is not capable of calling the required shots, and Congress needs to clip his Zionist war wings so Satan Yehu has no shots to call at all. And additionally, that Trump is aiding and abetting an international war and domestically charged criminal to evade justice, where it was reported that Trump's remarks come days after Axios reported that the details of a heated call between the two leaders, citing U.S. officials saying Trump told Satan Yehu, you're F**king king crazy, you'd be in prison if it weren't for me, everybody hates you now, everybody hates Israel because of this, close quote. And Trump later confirmed the call took place and did not dispute Axios' characterization of the exchange. You'd be in prison right now. Confession against Satan Yehu? On the other hand, what's Trump getting on about? Everybody hating Satan Yehu is a badge of honor to a genocidal psychopath like Satan Yehu, and that war criminal proved who is calling the shots by committing yet another war crime, shooting at the Lebanese people and bombing Beirut right after. Despite several U.S. brokered Israeli-Lebanon ceasefires, including one that took effect last week, Israel has continued to strike targets in Lebanon almost daily, in a sign of Washington's limited ability to restrain its closest Middle East ally. And we just keep replacing Washington with Trump, White House with Trump, when Trump's limited ability to restrain its closest Middle East ally. Closest ally, folks. So, confessed and admitted, Trump's inability to call the shots because of his limited ability to restrain his closest ally and most moral genocidal maniac, because the commander-in-chief won't step up to do his duty to the law of the United States of America and put the rabid dog down. Sounds like case closed for the bloviator-in-chief, don't it? And Trump is so much in charge of calling shots that while this article now called Iran and Israel halt hostilities, warned tit-for-tat strikes could resume as it happened, Donald Trump has reportedly warned Benjamin Netanyahu that he could be left alone if tensions escalate into a full war. The title was originally Iran blames U.S. for Israeli ceasefire breaches. Trump can only tell both sides to stop shooting. The U.S. president earlier said both sides, quote, have had their fun, close quote, and should stop. Just should stop after Tehran fired missiles at Israel in response to Sunday strikes on Lebanon. But fun? Trump thinks they're playing games? Such a disaster in chief. Iran has accused the U.S. of bearing, quote, direct responsibility, close quote, for Israeli ceasefire violations after the IDF launched intensive airstrikes on what is said were Hezbollah's targets in Lebanon on Sunday. The boogeyman. Tehran responded with a wave of retaliatory strikes on Israel, triggering a fresh Israeli attacks on targets across the Islamic Republic. Israeli operations came despite U.S. President Donald Trump reporting urging, he calls a shot, but he's urging Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu not to escalate further. Oh, it sounds more like begging, because he calls the shots, folks. Trump told Axios the strikes on Beirut had not been coordinated with Washington, with Trump, and insisted both sides, quote, had their fun, close quote, and should stop. He later posted an uncharacteristically brief message on True Social. Oh, darn it, I did it. I gave him the ad. Okay, doesn't matter. Quote, Israel and Iran must immediately stop shooting. Israel, however, pressed ahead with strikes, with explosions reported in Tehran, Isfahan, Tabriz, Karaj, as well as the Karun Petrochemical Company in the Mashrar Special Economic Zone, one of Iran's main oil and petrochemical hubs. Such a peace dealer. Oh, stop having fun killing each other. Don't you know I'm calling the shots? No, not me, behind the woodshed. Trump. He continues his temper Trump don, stomping his feet, yelling, neither of you have any choice. I'm calling the shots, so stop it. But reality finds a way. The renewed hostility sent oil prices surging towards $100 a barrel. As of 9:30 GMT, Brent crude was up 4.2% to $96.90, while U.S. benchmark WTI had gained 4.6% to $94.70. Iranian Foreign Minister spokesman Ismail Baghaei said Israel's actions, quote, cannot be viewed in isolation, close quote, from U.S. policy, describing Washington as, quote, directly responsible, close quote, for ceasefire breaches, because Trump calls the shots. And so much for the U.S. of Israel being an impartial negotiator, especially where Netanyahu is calling the shots. He said Tehran and Pakistan mediators, it is reported, are busting their hump 24-7 to broker a legitimate ceasefire, these guys. They're in the news recently more, and they've positioned themselves here. That it's also reported the U.S.-Israel death cult wants no part of their hard work. Tehran and Pakistan mediators have repeatedly stressed that Lebanon was, quote, part and parcel of the ceasefire agreement, close quote. Here are the key developments. The Israeli military says the Air Force has completed a, quote, extensive, close quote, wave of strikes on Iranian air defense systems with dozens of fighter jets targeting radar installations and surface-to-air missile launchers. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, says it launched a missile strike on petrochemical facilities in Haifa in retaliation for the IDF's Mashrar attack. The IRGC warned that attacks on energy infrastructure could expand the conflict to energy targets across the region. Iranian military spokesman Ibrahim Salghafari claimed the IDF had used prohibited weapons, including white phosphorus, during strikes on southern Lebanon and the outskirts of Beirut. So I hear this, they're prohibited. Everyone condemns it. They're prohibited. Well, they're not so prohibited, they're not being used. And this, again, is the failure of the nations. They don't step up and do what they need to do all at once to bring peace. Yemen's Houthis have re-entered the conflict, saying they are reinstating a ban on Israel maritime navigation in the Red Sea and warning that Israel-linked vessels would once again be targeted. And I don't think I've ever in my life seen such a stupid and weak U.S. president, unless it is actually Trumpenstein's that compromised. And that was STOOPID for the hearing sensitive, or the remaining kennel of Pomeranians. And don't forget, regarding who is calling the shots, this has become a religious war for Iran. When Trump and Yehu stupidly took out Iran's cleric leader, the assassinated cleric leader Ali Khamenei wrote on X on December 25, 2019, years ago, "Any Muslim who denies Jesus Christ and St. Mary's infallibility is rejected by Islam. This is how Islam respects Jesus and Mary. Peace be upon them." The photograph, said to be from Iranian media outlets affiliated with the state that have circulated footage of a missile launches paired with a strongly worded political message aimed at the United States and Israel, which is, the clip is, or the picture is now not available on Facepalm, the link that I copied it from. But I got the text of that image, so I have it here to say the missile that was intended for Israel said, quote, "In the name of God, a God whose power is greater than any ship, plane, or army, the God of Christ and the God of Moses, the God of all the people of the world, to all the people of the world, we are fighting a criminal gang, the corrupt people of Epstein Island. We will not compromise on the security of our people to rid the world of corruption and usury, right on the path of Jesus and Moses," close quote. If anyone thinks this didn't become a religious and spiritual battle right off, as I mentioned at the time, against the great Satan and his synagogue, and that was STOOPIDLY for hearing sensitive here again. Always very respectful. And I'll provide the link in that blogcaster. You just go read it. We've got all the links there too. And the players are there. All those tag themes are there. Everything. So all right there for you to see. The post from December 25th, 2019, right before the great Kobe swindle began in earnest. And you can get to see that from his post. Now he's been assassinated. So his son is now posting through that. But you can get to see their reverence for Christ if you haven't heard that before. And I can't say I believe in the Muslim belief at a couple points, but Muslims and Christians are a lot closer than I think anybody thinks they are with all the propaganda that we hear coming out of Washington for the Zionists. And to show that Trump could stop Satan Yehu if he chose, again, a good commander-in-chief for the interests of Americans, another observer of the fact, Ekaterina Vilanova, and offering more of the geopolitical gaming going on, U.S. has power over Israel to stop new war with Iran. Israel cannot restart the war on Iran without U.S. backing. Mehran Kamrava, professor of government of Georgetown University of Qatar, tells Sputnik. U.S. President Donald Trump reportedly warned Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Sunday not to respond to Iranian missile attacks, but Israel hit back the next day. Quote, "We now know that Israel has struck at least three locations in Iran, including Tehran, Isfahan, and the city of Tabriz," Kamrava says. Again, more correlation and cooperation with these stories and reports from different parts of the world, all reporting on the same thing, people seeing the same stuff. Quote, "Netanyahu is under tremendous domestic pressure to respond. He could not have not responded," close quote. Iran halted its attacks on Israel on Monday, but warned it could restart its attacks if attacks on Lebanon continue. But Israel bombed Lebanon less than an hour after the Iranian announcement, the Lebanese national news agency said. The professor believes the exchange of fire will not escalate into a larger war between Iran and Israel because Trump needs a deal with the Iranian leadership, and Netanyahu knows it. Quote, "I think it's important to remember that America supplies a major part of the so-called Iron Dome defense, and that Israel needs American defense missiles and know-how to shoot down incoming Iranian missiles," close quote, Kamrava said, and if they integrate that, they won't need it anymore, will they? They will have all that technology. And there will be very little, if any, kind of leverage at all. And so that's a major source of leverage that the U.S. has, he says. Israel in general, and Satan Yehu in particular, do not necessarily want to antagonize Donald Trump, close quote, he added. Quote, they know that this peace deal is important to Donald Trump, close quote. So none of this is about peace, but how to best continue the Greater Israel Project. We can only hope Iran is working from a better principles and not geopolitical positioning. As Trump vows revenge on Iran over downed Apache, a U.S. attack helicopter was destroyed overnight while patrolling the Strait of Hormuz, the president has said. Iran has downed a U.S. AH-64 Apache attack helicopter over the Strait of Hormuz, U.S. president claimed, pledging to retaliate for the incident, quote, of necessity, close quote. Okay, of necessity. So aside from Trump started it, in this day and age and of things like false flags, especially those caused by the greatest ally, for instance, 911, and the U.S. military says it still hasn't determined which country killed those 168 school children at the Manab school in Iran with that new, very precise, and U.S. cruise missile caught on camera, no less, after all this time. How is it you all know almost in real time, without video or proof shown, who done it? Who shot the helicopter down? Now do the Manab school and take revenge for that war crime. Earlier on Tuesday, U.S. Central Command said the helicopter, quote, went down, close quote. That's it, just went down. Off the coast of Oman while, quote, patrolling regional waters, close quote. And I found that particularly intriguing. Patrolling regional waters, close quote. So is regional waters territorial waters? Or is this the way to say Iran's territorial waters? Because by that logic, it is Iran's regional waters also. The military did not name the cause for the destruction of the aircraft, stating only that its two pilots were rescued around 2 hours later, that the incident is under investigation. It did not name the cause. Could have easily, Vince, easily been mechanical malfunction, right? The crash could have been any of at least five different reasons I've identified. Actually, it goes on and on. There's a whole lot more. Just from reading this short report, you can figure that out. Or a sixth possibility. Did anything happen? How will anyone know if no evidence is before us to see? Why did it take a bot speedboat 2 hours to go 13 miles if it traveled the entire distance on Oman's side to the center line of the strait, if it went that far? I mean, if the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow and all, and learning the art of the deal to keeping quiet while your enemy is making mistakes. Iran has so far kept silent despite its policy and widely publicized interception of hostile aircraft and repeated run-ins with the U.S. military amid a shaky ceasefire. Trump, however, squarely pinned the blame for the destruction of the helicopter on Tehran, pledging to retaliate. Quote, there were two pilots involved. Both are safe and uninjured, close quote. They shot down miles from nowhere over the waters of the strait. They fall out of the sky like a rock. Okay, there could have been a successful auto rotation. They escape the ship uninjured, and they're rescued for the first time ever by a bot boat after traveling 2 hours to reach them without any interaction with Iran's Mosquito Navy and Iran's own apparent capable drones in Iran territorial waters is quite the miracle, really. More newsworthy, wouldn't you think? Nevertheless, the United States must, and of necessity, respond to this attack, close quote, Trump wrote. So Trump attacks Iran, then vows revenge in presuming without proof Iran, having the right of self-defense, is said to have shot down the first such case ever with a drone designed to effectively destroy ground targets, such as power grids and fuel depots and infrastructure nodes and anti-personnel and anti-vehicle, and for infrastructure demolition, the top speed of which is 115 miles an hour, about 100 knots, an attack helicopter patrolling over regional waters which is said to be traveling typically at 145 knots. Yeah, that all makes a lot of nonsense, the knee-jerk. What a lawless buffoon. And what if it was the greatest ally of the United States took out that helicopter? What if it is a U.S. false flag? At least five ways to get it wrong, but blame Iran. And ahead of Trump's announcement, media reports indicated the U.S. military investigation had not been able to establish whether the destruction of the aircraft was intentional. By whom? An unnamed U.S. official told Axios the helicopter collided with an Iranian drone in midair. And in an update, howsoever truthful, it has been subsequently reported an Iranian Shahed drone, which is a loitering munition, not known to be real-time manually guided, and again designed for ground targets, struck the Apache helicopter. Whether intentionally or by accident, or intentionally or by accident by Iran or the U.S. is unknown. Whether the drone was operated by Iran or was an Israeli copycat drone in a false flag attempt or other instigation like we see in the U.K. or Ukraine does against Russia is not said. Maybe it was the pilot error. In an attempt to shoot down the Shahed, the crew got too close and suffered not a direct hit, but was damaged because it was within the powerful blast radius sufficient to disable but not destroy the helicopter, which left it able to have a controlled emergency landing on water. That would be on the pilots, not Iran. And Trump hasn't complained Iran's drone wasn't in an airspace it had no right to be in or over its own regional waters, cohabiting Oman's regional waters, not territorial waters, and notwithstanding what the military calls it, because, you know, we can trust the U.S. military or that fabled U.S. military intelligence to keep us truthfully informed at warp speed, right? Or when an Apache helicopter in the same airspace simply just went down. The ensuing rescue operation involved maritime drones for the very first time, CENTCOM spokesman Tim Hawkins told the outlet. How is it the helicopter survived a purported drone strike that can have enough explosive force to destroy ground targets, have enough stability and structural integrity to land in the water, the aviators escaping the detaching whirly blades and their watery coffin, to be found and rescued by only a drone watercraft that reportedly traveled 2 hours at a reported top speed of 35 miles per hour if on Oman's 13 miles half of Hormuz to reach them? Sounds more like an MI6 Bond thriller than, let's say, reality, maybe? Certainly the math is not mathing. And who were these very fortunate aviators? Miscast of characters is missing in action. Is it a clue, then? But the signals intelligence ship USS Liberty was set up by the U.S. President LBJ to be attacked by Israel on the same day? June 8, 1967, 59 years ago, and subsequently covered up by the United States government, or that the Six Days War started on the 11th of June, 1967? Trump has us back fighting a war for the Zionists, a war that doesn't exist, apparently. But apparently the power of the United States and your extortion, dollars, is better used to blow up Boy Scout balloons with $500,000 missiles, so says an ex-Pentagon official. You get the link, there's video. The incident took place in February 2023 as Washington scrambled to tackle suspected, quote, Chinese spy balloons, close quote. The Biden administration ordered the downing of a Boy Scout balloon over U.S. soil in February 2023 using a missile worth roughly $500,000 as Washington scrambled a panicked response to alleged, quote, Chinese spy balloons, close quote, the New York Post reported on Saturday, citing former Pentagon officials. On February 12, 2023, the U.S. Air Force dispatched an F-16 over Lake Huron near the U.S.-Canadian border, an intercept that was believed to be a potential unidentified aerial threat, destroying it with an AIM-9 Sidewinder missile. And I've seen some of the released footage of the UFO stuff that's coming out. It looks like this. It looks like when we saw that video, but it's been turned black and white. It doesn't look the same. one of the pictures. But at any rate, moving to the episode was confirmed by declassified cockpit footage released last month by Department of War as part of its second batch. There it is, of U.S. UFO-related records. Quote, the F-16 shot at a balloon over Lake Huron after the Chinese spy balloon embarrassment. DOD was shooting at every unidentified anomalous phenomena they detected, close quote, Tim Phillips, a former interim director of the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, AARO, told the Post. I'm going to get back to the images that they showed. So many people were saying, looking at this destruction of the balloon, saying it was a UFO falling apart, coming off in different parts and going in different ways. I just can't understand how we do that to ourselves. This looked like it was a balloon being blown up. And yet people make a bigger deal about it. And so I hadn't known that this was a part of that, but here it is. It is part of that. As we did get to see that. They did disclose it as a UFO, and it wasn't anything like that. Sean Kilpatrick, the former head of AARO, claimed that the balloon belonged to a Boy Scout group and had been launched on an unspecified research project. Now, listen, this is the cool part. This is what I used to do when I was in high school and things like this. Not that we ever circumvented and navigated the globe, but these are the kinds of projects we did through school, junior high school, high school. This is the stuff we did to understand what we were dealing with, to understand physics, to understand design, to understand science, to learn how to gather data. The balloon had circumnavigated the globe 8 times before we shot it down with a $500,000 missile, close quote, Kilpatrick explained. Quote, you can imagine the response on the Hill when I brief that, close quote. The spy balloon frenzy, the quote, spy balloon frenzy, close quote, kicked off in early February 2023 when a Chinese high-altitude balloon was shot down off the coast of South Carolina by an F-22 Raptor. Beijing insisted the craft was a civilian, with Beijing's top diplomat Wang Yi calling the shootdown, quote, absurd, close quote, and in violation of international norms. Media reports have suggested that there has been several other cases in which the U.S. Air Force swept the skies of a civilian U.S.-originated aircraft. According to Kilpatrick, around the same time, U.S. fighter pilot reported encountering a UFO with stealth-like capabilities and opened fire, but once it was downed, it turned out that he had destroyed a balloon from Walmart saying, happy birthday. In February 2023, a hobby group called the Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade reported the loss of a $12 balloon the same day a U.S. fighter jet downed an unidentified flying object with a missile worth about $400,000. Following the suspected, quote, Chinese spy balloon incident, close quote, the military said it had adjusted its radar detection parameters to pick up slow-moving objects it had previously filtered out, a change that inadvertently led to the shootdown of civilian balloons. So I just keep thinking, do we distrust the Chinese because they talk? In September 2023, an intelligence assessment stated that China had dialed down its balloon surveillance program after butting heads with the U.S. over the controversy. And speaking of China, on the sustainable global gulag front, Chinese modular building revolution goes global. China's modular and Holon buildings are transforming construction worldwide, delivering projects in days rather than months, while setting new standards for efficiency and sustainability, don't you know? Key details, modular homes and prefabricated Holon buildings can be built in days rather than months. Exports rose from $1.5 billion in 2015 to $4.3 billion, bravo dollars, in 2025, reaching the U.S., Australia, Russia, and Southeast Asia. Use of lightweight steel B-core slabs for walls improve earthquake and typhoon resistance and is claimed to cut carbon emissions by up to 90%. Rising labor and material costs, housing shortages, and long build times have increased demand from developed countries. demand in the developing world is due to the supply chain problems. COVID swindle? Caused? Fabricated? Lack of skilled workers and inefficient building trade. The new Chinese prefab industry is setting a new global standard for speed, efficiency, and environmental performance. Couldn't define stack 'em and pack 'em any better. Sustainably even. And keep it alert to the moving sustainability slavery front. I've been interested that Pakistan has been overrepresented in the news cycles lately. It's been setting up to be part of that global governance fold, like Iran. And here's the news. Pakistan intends to give civil rights to Pakistanis, just like the civil right of extortion. I mean, it's taxation. I mean, you can read it at USC 42, 1981, through the oh-so-decentralized, not cryptocurrency. From prohibition to taxation, Pakistan's crypto shift is real. Understand what I've said there, prohibition to taxation, exactly what I said the model is. They bring you in to regulate you. They prohibit you, and then they regulate you when they bring you in. Just like it happened in the United States already. Pakistan steps up to grab the mantle, I suppose, be a part of the future. Pakistan's authority bringing the crypto under the tax net reflects the serious efforts are being made to legalize and regulate the crypto business, according to Mian Abrar, geopolitical analyst and senior writer at Pakistan Today. Pakistan plans to introduce a capital gains tax on cryptocurrency transactions in the 2026-2027 budget because it's oh so decentralized, right? Quote, you would be amazed to know that Pakistan has yet to legalize crypto sector, but by bringing the crypto under tax net reflects those serious efforts are being made to legalize and regulate the crypto business, close quote. Mian Abrar told Sputnik, as I was telling you was happening through the SEC and the crypto and their adjustments there and bringing in and eventually doing stablecoin. The key takeaways, legalization. Remember, this is like the pot, the marijuana. They legalized it so that they can start taxing and regulating it. Legalization and taxation of cryptocurrencies would open up new vistas of opportunities. So government extortion is now defined as a, quote, new vistas of opportunities, close quote. Apparently for government and welfare queen parasites, it seems to be. A clear legal and tax framework can help increase investor confidence by reducing regulatory uncertainty. Really? Well, this is the promotion. The move also may accelerate the quote, modernization, there it is, of the Pakistani financial sector by encouraging the adoption of advanced technologies, including blockchain-based payment systems, smart contracts, digital identity solutions, and efficient cross-border remittance platforms. The introduction of a tax regime for cryptocurrencies can help lay the foundation for Pakistan to emerge as a regional digital asset hub, which is what the NUSTIS has been pumping for about a month or so now, while also saying Iran threatens the Asian undersea data cables. That'll surely inspire digital confidence. And how about we stop being confident in anything digital and be done with it, or as I can see. Quote, however, taxation alone may not be sufficient. No siree. The government always wants more. The real significance lies in the government's broader shift from uncertainty and prohibition towards regulation and recognition, close quote, the expert believes. But who is prohibiting it? Just like the global digital ID recognized error-prone enhancement for your convenience. And Putin on the concept of sovereignty. Why would I bring this up? Well, we're talking about sustainability, aren't we? Is there sovereignty within that? And yet we see one of the players, the global player. Quote, sovereignty means stronger and, I emphasize, smarter, and therefore managing resources more precisely, as in tracking and tracing everything, including human capital. investing more effectively, including in technological development. I emphasize real sovereignty requires efficiency, close quote. And spoken like a true technocrat pushing technocracy. And remember, SMART is shown not too intelligent always, like AI. And this technocrat, like the Catholic Church creating the term, insists humans are a human resource to be efficiently managed through behavioral controls. So sovereignty means being stronger than what? From the article, Vladimir Putin, the world is experiencing the largest structural change in decades. Now, I went out and looked around the earth. I didn't see much structural change, but you see what we're talking here. It's what man has made in the financial side, or to the financial future that they want. They are now experiencing the largest structural change in decades, likely longer. The model of global development built over decades and presented by the West as universal and neutral was actually a special created system for draining resources and forming dependency, Putin also pointed out. This is going so kumbaya already, I hope you can hear it. The world is currently undergoing the largest structural transformation in decades. In essence, the very paradigm of global development is changing. Global development is transforming to what, though? Really, what? Not what we're told, what it's going to be. The ability of a state to guarantee its sovereignty is a key factor for its position in the global economic system and for world leadership, Putin also emphasized. So Western global development is transforming to the global economic system. Isn't too much of a transformation, is it? In a global development, whom or what is sovereign? Because the unified pieces can't be if subject, even if each runs its own show, because the global tokenizer ultimately controls the ticket sales. According to Putin, the structure of growth, always grow, can't just be normal, leave us alone. Nope. The structure of growth is changing in favor of new centers of development in countries of the global south. Sovereignty here, though, is irrespective of centers of development. That center is not suggesting an overarching authority would be each sovereign, not pre-planned global hubs of global economic system activity, wouldn't it? And ultimately, all this technological infrastructure ties your AI aeropronation digital dependency into the integrated global tracked and traced economic or financial system of human traffickers. Digital technology being a tool. Efficiency may be the mark of a wise sovereign, maybe for a technocrat, but these are not sovereignty. Commingling the goals of the future that they want with sovereignty is not sovereignty. All due respects to Putin. And with that, from the Department of, some still call it human knowledge, bots now generate more web traffic than humans. The rise of AI agents has pushed automated requests past human activity, according to the internet infrastructure firm. Bots and AI agents now generate more web traffic than humans, according to the data from internet infrastructure company Cloudflare. And the error-pronation companies that scrape the internet to use with their models that they promote being human knowledge and give it back to you, a government, military, industrial complex product that can adversely affect neural connectivity, cognitive engagement, and emotional dependence, leading to issues such as cognitive atrophy and increased loneliness among users. But studies indicate that heavy reliance on AI tools may diminish critical thinking and social interaction skills, and none call that treason. And how, again, is treason a genuine public purpose supporting a governmental property takings, for that matter, relative to data centers from which these bots and agents live? Bots and agents now generate more web traffic than humans, according to data. What is that? Is that human intelligence? but more garbage in, garbage out. CEO Matthew Prince has described the development as a major turning point in the history of the web. Recent Cloudflare radar data shows that automated bot requests account for roughly 57% of traffic to ordinary web pages across a selection of websites using company services, compared to about 43% generated by humans. How are they knowing that anyway? They're a little smarter than me, I guess. No, that is smarter, isn't it? S-M-A-R-T. They'd have to be. That's not what I am. Is that what you are? Well, that happened faster than I predicted, Cloudflare co-founder and CEO Matthew Prince wrote on X on Wednesday. He stated that he had expected automated traffic to overtake human activity only in 2027, but that agentic traffic has grown rapidly enough that for bots to pass humans, quote, for the first time in the internet's history, close quote. And the shift is primarily being driven by hallucination. Hallucinating AI agents, automated systems that browse, retrieve, and process web content on behalf of users. While a human might visit a handful of websites before making a purchase or researching a topic, an AI agent can scan thousands of pages in order to produce an answer or complete a task. Is it an answer? Cloudflare's figures suggest that much of today's web activity is no longer ordinary browsing by people clicking through pages, but machine-to-machine traffic with automated system requesting data from websites, apps, services, and databases. The data covers web traffic only and does not include activities such as streaming, messaging, gaming, or app usage. The trend has revived debate over, quote, the dead internet theory, close quote, the idea that much of online activity is increasingly generated by bots, automated accounts, and error-prone systems, AI-error-prone systems, interacting with other machine-made AI-error-prone content. The rise of bot traffic has also threatened the internet's advertising-based businesses and their models. Since bots do not click on ads, concerns have been raised about whether websites may eventually charge AI error-prone AI agents for access to content. So, self-feeding digital token systems all on your dime and likely your property through increased water and electricity costs, if you can get the water or electricity that the AI is not drinking up. How is that diminishment a genuine public purpose for the purpose of taking? Meanwhile, researchers have also noted that large parts of the older web have been disappearing. That the mandala effect, bot enhanced, or showing the historic record will only go back as far as the one-year search setting on your browser, if it will still have one in the near future. A 2024 Pew Research study found that 38% of the web pages that existed in 2013 were no longer accessible a decade later, fueling concerns that the open web is being transformed from a space built around human browsing into one increasingly dominated by automated systems, being transformed to the future that they want, to transform people by adversely affecting critically thinking through interfering with neural connectivity, cognitive engagement, and emotional dependence, leading to issues such as cognitive atrophy and increased loneliness among users, and depriving people of adequate clean water, power, food, or finances to boot. Judge blocks Trump's $100,000 foreign worker visa fee. The White House has said that surcharge was meant to curb abuse of the program and protect American jobs. A U.S. federal judge has struck down President Donald Trump's $100,000 fee on new skilled worker visas, ruling that the White House could not impose the charge without approval from Congress. Again, what's the established form? The executive is an executive of the law, doesn't make the law. It can only execute upon what the Congress legislates. The fee applied to new H-1B visa petitions filed on behalf of foreign workers outside the U.S. The program allows American employers to hire specialists from abroad for up to 6 years and is capped at 65,000 new visas a year, with another 20,000 available for applicants with advanced degrees. It is widely used by major technology companies. Trump has argued that the system has been abused by companies seeking to replace American workers with lower paid foreign labor. To that, I'd say, why don't you just boot the foreign trade zones out as well? In September, he ordered a $100,000 surcharge on new applications, saying the measure would protect U.S. jobs and national security. On Monday, U.S. District Judge Leon Sorokin ruled in favor of 20 states that challenged the policy. He said that a $100,000 payment was effectively a tax, quote, regardless of what the payment is called, close quote, and that the administration had no authority to impose it. The Department of Homeland Security has denounced the ruling as a blatant judicial activism, insisting the fee was meant to protect U.S. workers and prevent abuse of employment-based visa programs. The lawsuit was led by California and joined by other states that argued the fee was unlawful and would harm schools, universities, hospitals, and other public institutions that rely on skilled foreign labor. Doesn't sound like a problem of immigration. Sounds like a problem of schooling, doesn't it? Skills. The H-1B program has long divided U.S. policymakers. Supporters say it helps companies fill specialized roles, while critics have argued that it allows corporations and staffing firms to undercut American workers and suppress wages. We'll get rid of the free trade zones, for starters. But my main point here is to say, if you want to see how the government tortures terms, like the court cases dealing with whether something is a tax or a fee or some other extortion by government to allow them to pass through constitutional scrutiny, look to those cases and conditions from which those terms arise. And I think you'll really appreciate more what I say about starting with the black and white than anything that's there's a trouble. You challenge its lawful application against you, with the initiating avenue being whether the term in application is a lawful term as applied and intended for the purpose. For instance, as I've explained years ago, the federal agencies said that miners had to file a notice of intent relative to a plan of operations. But when you go and take the law and read it, and the rules as well, the term notice of intent applies to major federal projects, not development and extraction of valuable minerals, or to the miners particularly that use the term operation to describe their method of development and extraction, but do use the term notice of intent for a completely different reason. And the demand from an agency for a notice of intent relative to a plan of operations threatening penalties and court action for not providing a notice of intent, so called by that agency, are an unlawful demand. What sounds like something a miner does, filing a notice of intent to the government to continue the exclusive possession enjoyment of the valuable mineral entry disposed to them, is not the notice of intent designated in law for an agency. And in this case, a definition that is relevant only to the respective government agency relative to every federal project or project that federal funds have been appropriated to, as the courts have expanded that application part of the agency notice of intent to begin the administrative process for that major federal project identified. The point being, when an official arbitrarily acts such as imposing a notice of intent upon a miner that it's not intended for a valuable mineral entryman or miner, as most people would know them, is granted property, its exclusive possession, enjoyment, or use, or where it's located, or as in this article where attributing what is a tax to be a surcharge, thereby evading the law, the consequence of which purports a lawful authority where none exists, and by that unwarrantable authority then imposes wrongful duties and obligations, it's unlawful. And whether the Trump administration appeals and overturns this issue, what won't change is what I've just explained about confirming the terms that are used, that they're actually lawful and they're actually used lawfully and applied lawfully and within the lawful authority of the enforcer, essentially. And when there appears a question, that one must be challenged. Administratively, as the miners would do subsequent to receiving a notice of demand for a notice of intent from the agency, which is you respond immediately there, or in this case, judicially. because the denial of the right to apply for want of an unlawfully imposed surcharge foreclosed any agency engagement, and the judiciary is called on to determine if the denial and imposition is in fact lawful. In this case, the Congress didn't make a provision for it, so it's unlawful. So again, in this case, it's not lawful, and sadly, time and again, Trump fails. And there's no legitimate reason for it, nor of the expenditures of time and energy and cost and delay. The delay all by itself is an injustice. But the chaos in chief needs to make himself look more important and in charge. I guess we can call him President Surcharge. But he has no cards, more than the law provides. And they are sure moving that process arguably properly to commingle America's first and number one terrorist enemy into a treasonous relationship, aren't they, relative to that legislation? So we know, too, then, by all this, the chaos in chief does this on purpose for illicit effect and irreparable harm to his victims, most all Americans, it seems. This has been BTW RLM 672, and I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, for Nature Willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near, behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three, Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn, dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Call behind the woods.